Good morning. Today is Thursday.
Good morning, Brian.
April the 14th, the day after basketball. Boy.
What?
Are you a basketball fan?
Well, I'm from Oakland, so yes. Oh,
okay. Well, okay. So you're a front runner. We've defined that now. Are you a basketball fan?
I am. My dad was on the Oakland Bittners team when he was a young man.
Oh, really?
Man. Yeah, so the pre-Warrior team.
Oh,
yes.
Very cool. Very cool. And even though I'm not a big Kobe fan or a Laker fan, for him to go out with 60 is cool, too. I mean, just everything kind of, it was a great night.
Yes, it was.
Unless you're a Giant fan. That one didn't work out so well for everybody. Joining us this morning is Maggie Fleming. Kind of an eventful last couple of weeks for you, huh?
Yes.
Very cool. We'll talk about that after our quote for this morning. Huh. I guess this is from the Bible. Well, no, it's not. Timothy isn't in the Bible. He didn't make the cut, did he? 1 Timothy, year 60. The law is good if a man use it lawfully.
Very good.
Boy, doesn't that get to the heart of everything, huh?
Yes.
Ethics and all that kind of stuff. And it's, I guess, a somewhat of a good bridge into what you can't talk about with Father Fried's trial.
That's right. We're starting the second.
I remember.
Yes. I know. You saw my face when you said, we'll be talking about that. Oh, no.
Oh, no, not much. But
we still
that's
have
okay.
The gag order. That's correct.
Even though the one phase is done.
It's till the entire process is over. So,
is that because some of the jurors could still, for whatever reason, have an issue and not be there and you have to go out and repopulate the jury?
That's correct. So we can't talk about the case until it's completed.
And you can't talk about the first phase?
No.
That's interesting. I would have thought each kind of stood on its own.
No, because the issue is still, you don't want to have anything said or done that could tamper with the jury process.
Is this going to be one of those signature trials here? I remember Keith Hitchings, partly because he was a classmate at Eureka High and at Zane, but also because of those murders in Fields Landing, the old couple breaking in, horrific, horrific. It seems like every 5 or 6 years, there's one of those kinds of cases. It's kind of like a landmark. If it was a fire, you know, it'd be the big fire of the decade, and you'd kind of remember the fires, kind of like the Humboldt Paint Factory fire. Is this going to be one of those, or is this, sadly, just one of many?
I don't think I should be commenting on the case in general. This is always my concern with a gag order. Right. So maybe next time when I'm on, we can talk about it.
Well, let's forget this case.
Okay.
In the last couple of years, have you had any that are going to be those signature kinds? Either really great job or really significant for the community to have come to a resolution?
I think Warren was very significant to come to resolution. I think that had such a negative impact on the community on so many, you know, because in part because it touched so many different communities. So many people knew the victims of that case very personally. And I think it
and
was
for those
just,
that don't, which one was this?
Warren was the man who killed the woman up in Hoopa and then stole her car and then ran down the joggers on Old Arcata Road. And I think it had a very, very profound effect on the community.
Because of the multiples.
Yes. And the way he did it.
Not a lot of sorrow involved from his side.
Right.
Yeah. That's got to, well, obviously it's got to take my attention away because we were about 30 seconds in. So you want me to take it to?
Take it to 20, yeah.
Okay, fine. So then we got 30 seconds left.
Talk fast.
Do it on the back side. No, actually, I've been talking too slow. Is there another signature or significant big trial that's pending right now?
No. I think we have a number that are really, they were so traumatic that for the individual families, but I don't know of any that have sort of.
The ripple.
Yes.
It's 8:20.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. the best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop, what we can, with Maggie Fleming. Oh. So your plate's still full.
Yes, it is.
You still got some stuff. Now, I don't think I'm stepping out. We've got a fella here who is called for jury duty on a Friday.
Yes.
Is that a new thing? I mean, I thought historically Fridays were not. It was always the Monday, Tuesday, and work it through the week. Is it a daily process now?
It is. One of the ways we're attempting to sort of reduce the high number of cases we have pending is we trail cases. And that's something that a lot of counties do. That was something we did in Contra Costa County all the time. So the idea is that we have trials that are already in session. So maybe a jury is going to return a verdict, or maybe a jury is going to start deliberating on a Tuesday or Wednesday. We can then put another trial in that department. And then also some cases are just that short. So if perhaps, you know, say a driving under the influence case gets out on Monday, you pick the jury. And now that we're going all day, you put on witnesses in the afternoon, maybe the next morning, you might have that department open up at 2 or 3 days into the week. And then you can start another case. And
so this is an efficiency thing.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And it's nice. You know, and jurors come every day of the week. And then we also do still have civil trials proceeding. So some of those cases, the court might hear over on the civil calendar, they might be hearing a number of hearings, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but then maybe they're going to start a jury trial on Thursday. So that's why we do that. And then when jurors call in, if something isn't starting that day, they can just be told, you know, please call back Monday morning. We may have a panel starting that day.
You might get lucky again.
Yes, that's right.
What percentage of the cases are civil versus criminal? Is it a 50-50 kind of a deal?
I don't know what the breakdown is. It's always really busy over in civil court when I'm over there. I sit over there for a couple. We have different areas that go to civil court. And I know they're setting cases out in January, February. So,
for next January and February?
That's correct, yeah. Because a lot of civil cases, the front end is so extensive between depositions and interrogatories. So, but they look at their calendar, and one of the ways they decide what's going to get out is the age of the case. So you'll hear the judge saying, well, you know, on December 1st and then December 15th, you would be the oldest case on that day, meaning you would have priority. So sometimes they pick those days because then they're pretty sure they're going to get to go.
Swift and sure, does it count in civil too?
That
seems staggering that it's that far out, or that there's that kind of backlog, that number of cases. Or do they tend to be longer than the criminal cases to adjudicate?
Some are. You know, some are shorter. It depends on the nature of the proceeding. I mean, I think of like the skilled healthcare case. That was months and months and months of testimony. And so that was significantly longer than perhaps the average civil or even criminal case.
Is it tougher to seat a jury for a civil case?
No, I think it's probably about the same in most cases, but certainly easier given that many of them don't have the same sort of profile, don't have the same sort of front page news aspect.
You mean the uglies?
Yes.
You try to dance so nice and I just kind of step on your toes.
Yes.
What would kick somebody off of a jury in a civil case if they, other than knowing the players?
It could be that they're involved in the fields that are being discussed. So, you know, perhaps if you're, you know, employed by PG&E and this is about, you know, an electrocution related to a wire went down or something like that. And then also sometimes people, similar to criminal law in that sometimes people's families or close friends have been profoundly affected by a similar issue. So if...
Or that firm.
Right.
Absolutely. Business entities.
Right. That's right.
Okay. But you don't get anybody out because they're not in favor of capital punishment.
Right. That's right.
Or squeamish at blood.
Right.
And the things that get a lot of folks.
Yes.
Okay. Just gave out a couple tips, didn't I?
You know, I every now and then when I'm sitting in the civil, you know, you'll see the exhibits because there's an ongoing case. And for example, in medical related issues, whether it be malpractice or some other issues, there's frequently pretty significant pictures,
slip and falls and things like that that are a little bit more straightforward rather
and,
than
and then there are also the civil related to auto defects and things. So you can have some pretty
gruesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh. Do the questions that are asked of the jurors tend to run parallel?
I would assume so, based upon you still have to cover, do you have sort of any personal experiences that would affect you so much that you think you couldn't be fair in this case? So I think there's a lot of that sort of similar jury selection process.
I wonder which is longer. If a criminal case is longer to find, to see the jury or a civil, or if it's just the projected length of the event. And that's the common part.
Yes. That's generally the biggest biggest part of jury selection.
Everybody should have seen. Eyes rolled, the face changed. Oh, yeah. Smile disappears. The whole nine yards. Everything changed.
I don't think I rolled my eyes.
No, well, you know, no.
I think I just always go,
or you were inspecting the lights. Let's just say that then. Oh, boy. Do you have a specialist for civil, or does everybody kind of go back and forth out of your office?
Right now, and for a number of years, I handled most of the civil because I had started to do civil cases early on, and then I kept them. So I'm doing them now.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. As you look at Measure Z, as you look at the county, as you look at the trends, as you look at legalization, yes or no, you look at recreational, yes or no, you look at some of the homeless stuff, yes or no, what do you see out there in 5 years? What is your anticipated Humboldt County in 5 years?
I think that we're going to have to seriously look at the issue of, in essence, a Measure Z tax that carries us through. It may not have to remain at half-cent sales. You know, I'm hoping that with time that can go down. But I do think what we've seen based upon the recession is we simply can't have a number of the services our community needs without more funding. And Measure Z has really helped with that. I think, you know, sort of the projection is that we are looking at going into another recession in the next couple of years. So that's something that's always a concern because not just does it affect, you know, how we fund services, but it obviously has a really negative effect on the community and unfortunately sometimes loss of jobs, loss of income.
Now, is that a California thing? Is that a regional thing?
Is
that
a national? California thing, yeah.
You mean so the $15 minimum wage may not track? Because that was a big side door there. Unless, so you see, okay. I mean, I certainly the cost of doing business has been going up, and the cost of living here has gone up.
I think you know we really have to get a handle on too, as far as the medical costs, and then as also the pension costs. Those are two big impacts to any county government and every individual department budget. That's always, you know, your sort of your biggest piece when you look at your costs. And it's something we really have to, you know, sort of look, when you talk about 5 years down the road, we really have to look at that. Right now.
Because it's not just employees. It's past employees. It's the criminal system, you know, those that the government is responsible for, I guess would be the way to say it.
So our county is responsible, you know, as PERS, the public employees retirement system, making sure that we have funded that appropriately. And basically the Board of Supes has to come up with the money to keep it going, and that's a significant hit to the county budget. And then one thing that's sort of interesting is, you know, sort of the way the county negotiations, you know, have gone forward is, in essence, employees are paying into PERS. So
the shared
right.
cost. Yeah.
So, you know, frequently.
Well, it'd be tough to go to the community and say we need a tax or a bond or a bump or whatever for the retirement plan.
Right.
For others, you know, even though you're working, we need it for our retirees. I mean, that would be a really tough one to pass.
Right. What I mean is that in Humboldt County, we have in the past accepted that we would, in essence, the raise would be put towards PERS. So if you get a 2% raise, you understand that's automatically going back into PERS. So in essence, the income has sort of remained stable or gone down as the cost of living's gone up because so much of the money has to go into funding the retirement and the medical. So those are some of the issues that I see, you know, looking out 5 years, in part because I know it's difficult. I've been really fortunate right now with recruiting attorneys here, but I know for a number of the departments, it's very difficult to recruit because of where our salaries are, where our county health is versus other counties.
It would be interesting to see what the average household income in Humboldt County is versus the other communities, and then do a cross-reference or a ratio based to or index to those jobs you're trying to fill. Then to see, are we out of whack, or is it just people are looking at the dollar sign in one county where the household income is up 20% higher, that they're attracted by job offerings that are 20% higher, where it would be about the same here, except you'd, I guess, be paying less income tax.
It is interesting. I know when I first started here, housing was much less expensive than other communities. And then that really changed over the years. And I know this is going back a number of years, but we were recruiting someone and his family was going to be relocating. And so he said, you know, we're either going to move to Humboldt County or going to move to Sacramento County. And we said, you know, in good faith, because that's what we thought, oh, you know, you'll find it much easier to purchase, you know, a nice piece of property, a nice home here. And he said, no, actually, right now, Sacramento County housing is much more affordable than Humboldt County, and their salary was better. So, you know.
Well, with a huge overbuild they had in Sacramento before the recession.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I bet you there are some deals down there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it was, you know, sort of that where you realize that maybe we're in a little bit of a jam related to those sorts of issues when we look at our salaries.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County's DA, Maggie Fleming. Talk shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Maggie, the five-year horizon we talked about was all dollars. What do you think about the culture of our community in those 5 years? Is your caseload composition going to change? Are the numbers going to change? Are the styles going to change? What do you see the do part of the job?
One area that I think is critical, I know I've mentioned it before on this show, is that the way we sort of address the substance abuse and mental health issues that we have in our community. I think the funding that we see for the jail is going to be significant addressing that, because the addition to the jail is specifically going to be more beds for those people that were transitioning. So it's going to be more substance abuse treatment, more mental health, and that is so important. And I think that's really going to address a lot of sort of the day-to-day crime we see. I also hope that with time, and whether it be a function of education or, you know, how we address these in other areas, that we are going to see a decrease in the vehicular homicides related to those people who are using drugs and other substances, including alcohol. Right now, and Eureka is really one of the cities that's off the charts as far as vehicle-related incidents, whether it be pedestrians or vehicle-on-vehicle. But we see far too many homicides related to those people who either are on prescription meds, are on controlled substances, or on marijuana.
Are you talking about the walkers or the drivers?
The drivers.
Okay.
Although I do think we have a problem with the walkers as well. But what I see is, you know, the high number of fatalities related to people who really should not be behind a wheel.
So is that drug culture or is that aging community?
I think it's drug culture. I also think it's, on some level, the acceptance we have for the use of substances. And it sort of, you know, I do always think back to what Mothers Against Drunk Driving did for alcohol-related homicides. And we really need to do that as well for drugs. We just have too many people who either, like I say, prescription or for people who smoke marijuana daily, who think that they can function at the same level when they're on their substances as when they're not. And they don't really understand the very significant choices that you make split second behind the wheel of a car and how much of an impact that has on people's lives.
Now, you've not said meth.
I
behind the wheel.
Yes, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, all of those have the same sort of problem. It's just in our community. What I'm seeing statistically right now is a lot of the marijuana and then also prescription meds.
Perception that marijuana has no impact?
Yes. Yes. Early on, I had a driving under the influence case, and it was a mom, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, picking up her kids. And she was all over the road. CHP stopped her, and she was very upfront about it. She said, I haven't been drinking alcohol, but, you know, I smoke marijuana for my stress-related problems. And it just impacts how you function and how your brain works. And it's just really, really important, whether it be marijuana or, like I say, prescription meds. There are a lot of people who take medication every day and don't really understand how it changes their ability to make split-second decisions. So that's something else that I hope over time we better address, and like I say, whether it be education, PSAs, whatever it is, to sort of help people stop that behavior.
Thanks for laying it out.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow morning.